I'm Holden Kushner. It's the Denver City Cast on the Bet Rivers Network. Big show for you today. Kendrick Perkins tripling down on his criticism of Nikola Jokic and playing the race car. So I got to discuss that. I've gotten into it with Perkins on Twitter before, and I'll tell you what my thoughts are again today. 1 year ago yesterday, the Broncos traded for Russell Wilson. Got to give you my timeline of that and 10 things that I remember from Russell Wilson over the last year and a day. College basketball. Boy, it's a great time of year. I got Colorado State, San Diego State. I'm going to give you a same game parlay in that one. And I'm not going to give you a Colorado pick because you know what? I stink at betting the Pac-12. It's as simple as that. I'm going to break the game down for you. It's a very fascinating game, but Colorado, UCLA, no pick there. Anyways, let's get into this. We'll start with Kendrick Perkins, but real quick, let me tell you about a special going on at Bet Rivers right now. I like this one. Saints to win the NFC South in the upcoming season, boosted from plus 120 to plus 150. I'll tell you why I like this one too. Tampa Bay's in a full rebuild. They're going to be a bad football team this year. Sam Darnold is the quarterback in Carolina. And that's actually a good thing for the rest of the league. Now, he had a couple of decent games, but for the most part, he struggled. I do like their defense there. I do like Carolina's defense. So I think that that is going to be the biggest competition to what we see. Frank Reich's there, too. He's a good head coach. I'm a Frank Reich guy. I know there's a lot of criticism there. He wasn't great with the Colts toward the end, but he didn't have a quarterback. And now he's got Sam Darnold. He still doesn't have a quarterback. Atlanta rookie quarterback Desmond Ridder. I don't see them getting Lamar Jackson. Derek Carr to the Saints really changes everything. Get Michael Thomas back. Olave's a stud. They can run the football. I'd like to see them upgrade in the backfield, though. Alvin Kamara's coming toward the end of his career. And defensively, I like their secondary. So not a bad bet at all. Boosted a plus 150 Saints winning the NFC South. But let's get into the show. If you don't know the story, I'll just recap it real quick. If you know it, I won't spend too much time recapping. But he says Jokic is getting MVPs basically because he's white. Okay? And then Perkins was arguing with J.J. Redick. And he said, it's a fact. It's a fact that Jokic is getting these MVPs because he's white. And he said that 80% of the MVP voters in the NBA are white. And guess what had to happen? ESPN had to issue a correction because it was wrong. And the only argument that Perkins says is it's a fact because it's a fact because it's a fact. So listen, we've all criticized Kendrick Perkins at this point. Very few people agree with what he's doing. And I don't even know why they agree with it. But I think the bigger issue here is that uneducated people are given a national platform to give hot takes. And this one just went too far. Now, Jokic went to the podium and had to answer questions about this. And, you know, he said he wasn't upset. He said, you know, he was intrigued by it, or it was interesting is what I would say. But he doesn't like this. Nikola Jokic does not like being in the spotlight. I mean, it's as simple as that. Like, he deals with it, but it doesn't seem like he likes it. And now he's in the spotlight for something that he didn't create. It's just this false narrative. And I've said this for years now, about 3 years. People diss Jokic because he doesn't look like your prototypical NBA player. He's a big white dude that can't jump, but he just makes everybody better. He hits shots at an extremely high rate. He doesn't care about winning an MVP. And he's the perfect player in the era of burgeoning analytics. This is how we look at the game now. And just like baseball, how many years later are we after, you know, the book came out? 2003 was when, you know, the book comes out, Moneyball, baseball changes, everybody hates analytics, the scouts, the old school scouts. And listen, we found a balance. We've had a balance now. Now, teams are using more numbers than the eye test, but they're still using the eye test. Well, this is what's happening in the NBA now. And I think the NBA is using analytics even more than baseball is. Shoot a three or hit a shot that's very efficient. You know why the numbers love Nikola Jokic? because he hits floaters in the 60% range. He takes high percentage shots. He hits those shots. He facilitates, and he's a good rebounder as well. So back to Perkins. This is a guy, very tough background. His mom died when he was younger. He went straight from high school to the NBA. I don't think that helps either. You know, to say that he's uneducated, maybe I go a little bit too far there. He's obviously educated about the NBA, but the game has also changed. You know, he's been gone for 5 years now. How much has the game changed from an analytical standpoint? Like, that guy has no shot of playing in the NBA. Even in his prime, he's a guy that's coming off a bench getting a few minutes a game. Not athletic enough, can't shoot a three, doesn't hit shots down low. Perkins, he's just forcing bad takes too. He's race baiting. It's the only way he knows how to get attention and to make a point. And his point is because it's a fact. I'm going to try and win this argument because it's a fact. What's a fact? There's no factual information. As a matter of fact, ESPN had to come out and say that you were wrong. Listen, Joker was a young player when Perkins was an older player. I'll tell you this much. This version of Joker would have dominated Perkins on the court. So Kendrick Perkins, he's never going to admit he's wrong. He's just not going to. But I put a lot of blame on him. I put a lot of blame on ESPN for giving him a platform to give hot takes. And this is one that just went too far. By the way, Vic Lombardi with Altitude, he was talking to Kendrick Perkins at the All-Star game. Perkins is like, yeah, I like Jokic. So this is, again, something else that tells me this is a forced argument by Kendrick Perkins. So by the way, this version of Joker would have dominated prime Perkins. By the way, number two, Joker missed out on a triple-double in two straight home games. Sombor double, 9 assists 2 games ago, 8 assists against the Bulls. So just like the Melvin Gordon under rushing yards had to come to an end, just like the Broncos team total unders, game unders came to an end, the Joker, it looks like this triple-double at home, we're going to have to reassess and reevaluate. Okay, let's move on. That was number one of the front range four. This is going to be number two on the front range four. Unfortunately, it's Russell Wilson. So let's get to the Broncos. 1 year ago yesterday, Broncos traded for Wilson. And here's my timeline, my timeline. So everybody has a thought. I don't know what your first thought is when it comes to the last year with Russell Wilson. My first thought is, let's ride. Shut the hell up about let's ride. But the second thing that comes into mind, this is probably the biggest letdown I can remember. I've covered numerous professional and college teams. I don't think there was more hype for a player that I've been around in a city than there was for Russell Wilson here. Super Bowl, playoffs, AFC Championship game, AFC West. I mean, it all just came crashing down. Future Hall of Fame quarterback, promising success with cheesy taglines like, let's ride, let's ride. And he's a robot, right? He finally came out of his shell toward the end of the season, but it was just too late. And hopefully he just shuts up now. But we all should have known this was going to be bad after the Broncos hired Hackett to get Aaron Rodgers and it fell through. But here we are now. So here are my 10 points of a timeline of Russell Wilson. Number one, the Broncos over this past year lost their first and second round picks last year. They don't have a pick in the first two rounds this year because of Russell Wilson. Number two, they trade for him and then they give him a 5-year extension, which, by the way, I was behind. I said it was a good deal. 5 years up to $245 million. Horrible, horrible, horrible contract as it stands right now. I still think it can look good, but he has to, he's got to lose the weight. He's got to listen to Sean Payton. He's got to, you know, win this team over. He's got to win this city over. This city wants to like Russell Wilson. This city wants to love Russell Wilson. But if you play like he did, it's just going to be hate and apathy. If he looks like he looked last year, if he looks like that this year, the Broncos are going to be forced into a decision. $85 million of dead money spread over 24 and 25, 2024, 2025. but it also prevents more money being added to it. So I think it's a very short leash on Russell Wilson. How many games? Could it be 12 games, 13? If this team is struggling out of the gate and we're sitting here week 12, week 13, I don't know who the backup's going to be, if it's Jameis Winston or whoever, but Russell Wilson might not finish the season as the starter. Number three, over this last year, what did I remember in Seattle week one? Hackett passes up the chance to let Wilson win the game by attempting a long field goal. And maybe Hackett knew Wilson wasn't good, but it was a foobar that set the tone for the season, that had the Denver crowd counting down the play clock, which was a complete national embarrassment. Number four. This is going to be on Russ. This one will be a little bit more on Russ. Hackett got blamed for poor clock management, but everything that came out after the season was that Wilson was the one that couldn't relay the plays in enough time in the huddle. And he was also using the same exact play calls that he used against the Seahawks. The Seahawks picked that up in week one. He also looked a little fat, a little bloated. Strong guy, not as fast, not as quick. He's got to lose that weight. Fifth thing that I remember, this offense scored the least points per game in the NFL at 16.9. So the betting angle on this is it did lead to a profitable season betting the Broncos. Just a string of unders, whether it be the team total, whether it be the game total, Melvin Gordon unders, everything under. So that's the one good thing I take out of last season. We bet them well. They're a pretty predictable team. Number six. Over the last year, the team was featured on primetime games, which was such a disaster. I was begging, the country was begging not to see the Broncos in primetime anymore. And they got swapped out late with that Kansas City game. Number seven, the last year, what do I remember? Mike Purcell barking at Russell Wilson on the sideline. And there were numerous issues. Wilson just didn't get any help from his teammates after being knocked down on the ground. And that said a lot. And guys in the locker room had to come out and defend him. But for the most part, you just saw Russell Wilson get knocked down. Nobody helping him up. Purcell yelling at him on the sideline. And listen, if this team was winning, that incident wouldn't have been good. But I think that was right next to the nail in the coffin for Hackett. Because Hackett's the one that got all the blame. You know, now it's all on Russell Wilson. All on Russell Wilson. Number eight. This was the nail in the coffin for Hackett. And Wilson looked like garbage. 51-14 Christmas Day loss to the Rams. Everybody watching that game. SpongeBob is making fun of Russ on the Nickelodeon broadcast. It doesn't get any worse than that. Now, something positive that came out of this. After Hackett was fired, Jerry Rosberg comes in. Russ looked mildly competent for the last two games. So it gives me a little hope. Cut the weight, get quicker, listen to Sean Payton. And that would be number 10 over this last year. Sean Payton getting hired. And normally, I think if a franchise and a city gets Sean Payton, everybody's super excited. But after this letdown with Russell Wilson, it was tempered excitement. But Sean Payton's hired. Wilson's support staff isn't going to be in the building any longer. I never had a problem with the office. You want to give the guy an office, that's fine. But you want to take it away from him, that's fine too. Force him to sit there in the locker room. He's not better than anyone. As a matter of fact, he's got more to prove than anyone. Reportedly shedding pounds. He's been quieter. He probably has less than one full season to prove that he has it. And he could stick around for two, three, even 4 years. That's still a possibility. It's still not off the table. But he's got to salvage the end of his career. He's a future Hall of Famer. And the last year has just flat out been a complete debacle. Epic proportions. The fans are just apathetic toward this team right now. Russ needs to shut up, show it on the field. No more cooking, no more writing. Just do your job. Simple as that. All right, we're going to move on. Number three in the front range four. We got college hoops. We got two games today in the afternoon. Colorado State, San Diego State. Here are the lines on Bet Rivers. Rams, +9.5, +375, and 136.5 is the total. And these lines have moved. You might even get Rams +10. It opened at 8.5, and the total came down from 137.5 to 136.5. Rams coming off a 2-point win over Fresno State. That was a fun game. I had the under, and the under cashed by 2 points. Isaiah Stevens hit the game winner with 3 seconds left. I'm holding my breath. I'm like, please don't go to overtime. Please don't hit a three, because then I lose. And listen, Colorado State shut him down. Fresno State didn't get a good shot. Here's my issue with Colorado State. 1-6 against the spread last 7 following a win. So they usually have letdowns. 1-6 ATS last 7 neutral site games, whereas San Diego State is 9-3-1 against the spread in the last 13. The under is also 5-0 in their last 5 games. This is a different San Diego State team, though. For years, it was just defense. You bet the unders, unders, unders. I mean, it was disgusting. You'd have unders in the, like, 116. Nobody could score on these guys. Well, they're still 12th in adjusted defense in KenPom, although they're giving up more points. CSU is 200th in KenPom defensively. They can't defend anybody. But unlike previous years, San Diego State can score. They're 41st in adjusted offensive efficiency. So here's CSU. They don't play offensively on the road. They score less than 65 points per game. I don't want to bet the under 63.5 team total for the Rams. But it is going to take a Herculean effort from Isaiah Stevens to keep this game close. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to run a little same game parlay out there at you. San Diego State will keep it, you know, within 3 possessions. So let's go San Diego State -6.5. We'll take that down 3 points. We'll boost the total up 10 points to 146.5, and that's going to get us at +110. Same game parlay, San Diego State -6.5, game under 146.5, +110. Also, if you get a chance and you want to live bet the Aztecs, if Colorado State comes out hot, or at any point in time you can get the Aztecs at 6.5 or better, I'd do that live. All right, last but not least, Colorado UCLA. This is a game I'm not betting. Listen, I have to be completely upfront with you. I suck at betting the Pac-12 this year. I have been horrible betting Colorado. It just has not worked out well. So I'm going to break this game down for you, and you can go whichever way you want to go with it. But the lines, Buffs +9 points. Again, I think this thing gets bumped up. +340 on the money line. 133 is the total. Not a hearty total. So UCLA, number 1 seed in the Pac-12, top 5 team, 27-4. But they lost Jalen Clark, who was their best defender. So he's done for the year. And that's a huge blow to this UCLA team. I thought they had a shot to win the championship. I don't think they win the championship without Jalen Clark. So they're going up against the 9 seed, the Buffs, 17-15. They had that nice 74-68 win over Washington in the first round. Both teams shorthanded, you know? So Clark is out for UCLA. Hey, CU point guard KJ Simpson, huge part of this team. Out for the tournament, he has mono. How do you get mono? Well, water fountains in other ways. Anyways, Simpson tied for the team lead, 15.9 points per game. Led the Buffs with almost 4 assists per game. This is a very big loss. Total open at 132, pretty low. You got high scoring games in the Pac-12 when they come out to Vegas. Going back to last year's tournament, by the way, 6 of the 8 games went over 132. Listen, I'm not giving you a play here. If I had a play, I would go to the over. Even though KJ Simpson is gone, I still think the Buffs can score a bit. UCLA's defense is down. If UCLA isn't going to slow it down and play defense, maybe they push the pace a little bit. So that's the way I'm going. I would not tail that. It's as simple as that. I'll tell you what, I'm good at things. We were rolling on that Jokic triple-double. We'll take our money and we'll leave, and we might jump on it later in the season. I'm not betting that at minus money anymore. But after that, what was it, like a 7-2 run? We lost the last 2. Done with the Jokic bets. All right, Mark Springer, Altitude 92.5. He was hosting Kreckman and Lindahl for a little bit this week. And now we got him to talk some betting. You know, Altitude 92.5 has the Nuggets. They have the Avalanche. So we'll talk about both. My friend, I have just gone off on Kendrick Perkins here. It's absolutely asinine what he's doing. And I think this is partly ESPN's fault because you put somebody that's not very educated in a position where he's forced to make hot takes. Of course, you're going to get stupid stuff like this. Talk to me here. Have you heard from fans? What's your thoughts on this whole debacle with Kendrick Perkins?
I mean, it's one of the stupidest debates I've ever seen in my life. It's ridiculous. It's funny because me and Mark Bertinoli were talking about it on the Blitz on 92.5 last night. And yesterday on First Take, they didn't have Kendrick on. And they apologized via a statement from Molly Quarum for the misinformation that they spread. Look where we are. What is this, the 2020 election? You know, Kendrick saying that 80% of the voters for MVP are white. The number's closer to 68%, or, you know, much more closer to even. Either way, if you're going to go on a major network, really any network, but certainly a major one, and spew a blatantly incorrect fact to boost an argument that is also ridiculous in the first place, then yeah, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? But it's funny because there was another clip circling around Twitter yesterday from, this had to have been sometime recently. It was Kendrick Perkins and Richard Jefferson on one of the ESPN shows, and the topic was Giannis or Jokic. And Kendrick was talking about how he would take Jokic, how he's a unicorn of a center, how he does things he's never seen. So some time ago, he's pro-Jokic. Now, all of a sudden, he's anti-Jokic in this MVP thing. Holden, it's almost just like ESPN, the producers in general. Maybe it was Perk and the talent themselves, but somebody must have decided this is a debate we're going to have because we need to drive a divisive conversation, and we're going to sink our teeth into this thing. Because I guess in their mind, why else would anybody watch the NBA Today show from 1 to 2 Mountain on ESPN? Let's stir up some controversy. And that's what they did. And now their feet are so deep in the cement that they started saying some really dumb crap. At least they apologize for it, though. It's so stupid, Holden. Nobody cares this much about the NBA MVP. There's no way people care this much.
Let's do now. We do now. I've gotten into it with Perkins on Twitter before. It really is. It's a pretty easy debate. His retort is always, because it's the facts. Because it's the facts. But he doesn't have the facts. The other thing is, I have not gotten through a full First Take. Last time I watched more than 5 minutes of it was years ago. But I did. I mean, this has brought First Take into my life. And I still haven't watched it, but I watched all these clips. I keep seeing him. It is fascinating. He talked to Vic, your guy, Vic Lombardi, and he was really nice 10 days ago. And here we go. This is proof. Like, okay, Kendrick, we need a hot take, but you're too dumb to come up with a salient point. So just pull the race card.
Yeah, no, that's a great point, too. Another example, Vic Lombardi talked to him at the All-Star game, and he was very complimentary of Jokic. So, yeah, something changed. But another weird thing about this is, you know, Kendrick Perkins in general, like for years now, however long he's been doing this analyst thing since he retired for ESPN, he might have been with one of the NBC affiliates to start. I can't even remember. But for years, I always thought Kendrick Perkins was awful. Yeah. Like, I'd listen to him talk and I'm just like, this guy sucks. Now, this was before this Jokic debate. This is for years, right? You would hear some of his points and his reasoning and you'd be like, okay, dude. And it's one of those things where always a former player, so therefore we have to respect his opinion. Spoiler alert, guys. A lot of times these former players don't know what they're talking about. No. Just because they played in the league doesn't mean they know. I mean, dude, have you seen Tristan Thompson in his recent debut on ESPN? He is rough around the edges. He has got some work to do. So, you know, when you send a fool to execute a fool's errand, this is what happens.
I mean, you're saying it really good. You said it very salient. I think I made some salient points, and that's about it. That's all I got on Jokic. I'm not worried about their last two performances as a team. Crap happens. They've, you know, they look bad against Toronto. They won. They look bad against the Bulls. I will say this, though. Just like Melvin Gordon under rushing yards, everything comes to an end, and Jokic has not gotten to the triple double. He's getting the Sombor double, right? What is that? One assist, yeah. He misses by one assist.
Misses by an assist, a rebound, you know, it'll rarely be a point. He usually will always get to 10 points. So it's usually the assist. It's usually one assist He misses it by. You know what's funny about Toronto and Chicago, the last two teams that they've played, like, those are still good teams on paper. It goes to show that, like, in the Eastern Conference, now the Cavaliers add Donovan Mitchell, they're better. You know, like, the Eastern Conference, it's getting a little tougher, and that has pushed Toronto and Chicago down into that play-in range. Chicago, like, outside of the play-in range. But you look at that Bulls roster on paper, I knew that this was going to be a tough one for the Nuggets last night, coming off of the kind of sloppy performance against Toronto, which, again, has Siakam. We saw Fred VanVleet go off on the refs today. He's still a good player. These are talented rosters. I think the Nuggets, too, it's that early to mid-March thing. Like, now they're 30-5 at home. At some point, you just dip your focus a little bit. I'm not concerned about the Nuggets at all. Like, what I saw in the Grizzlies game last Friday night was freaking awesome. That, to me, by far outweighs the mediocre performances we've seen the last couple games.
Yeah, what goes up must come down a little bit. And then Durant twists his ankle in a warm-up. He's out multiple weeks. I mean, what's going to happen? Playoffs come, and all of a sudden he's just going to turn it on, and this Phoenix team is just going to magically be great? I'm not so sure. I listen, it's very easy to see another Denver collapse, but I think it's easier to even see them just running down teams. Like LeBron, he's another guy. When the hell is he coming back? And there was a crazy story on the internet, too, that former UFC fighter has the same PED dealer that LeBron does.
Hey, you know, it
allegedly.
Look, hey, you know, okay, you know, that's interesting and very much so allegedly, right? But look, the dude is in his late 30s and is in like the best shape of his life. I don't know. I guess I'm kind of at the point with steroids and PEDs. I don't even think about it anymore.
I'm fine.
You know, I just kind of assume, oh, LeBron's got a great diet and he works hard. Maybe that is what it is. I don't know. But hey, look, back to the Kevin Durant thing. My man. Dude, my man got hurt in the layup line. In the layup line, Holden. What's that all about?
It was. I thought it was funny, and then I learned he got hurt, and I was like, this isn't funny, the poor guy. I'm a Kevin Durant guy. He gave me some advice on coming back from an Achilles rupture. The difference is he's a professional athlete, and I'm 40-something and not a professional athlete, so it didn't work as well as his. Okay, what do we got, Avalanche now? So every week we talk about Landeskog. Let's get back into Landeskog because everything I'm reading, it's not great. It's not. Now he had a second surgery. So his bounce back is not because of the first surgery. Now it's a second surgery.
And I found that part odd that I think it's the same knee though, which is very odd. So it's the same knee that he had hurt going into last year's playoffs. Uh-huh. Yet it's a different injury. At least this is what they're claiming. It's a different injury to that same knee. Okay, I guess I'll believe you. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Felt like my read on it, or just the natural assumption, was he came back too soon on a knee injury. And you know these knees, whether it's MCL, the heaven forbid the ACL, any little ligament in that knee takes some time. And, you know, he probably came back a little too soon. No, ended up working out because they won the Stanley Cup. But my assumption was he came back too soon. And now the consequence of that is, you know, initially he was going to be back maybe in the first quarter of the season. Then it got pushed back to right after the new year. Now here we are in early March. But I guess at the very least, the reports are, and he has been at skate recently. In fact, he skated in front of the public recently. And people were saying he looked good. It looked like he's progressing at skate. That's what Jared Bednar has been saying. So regardless of the weird dynamics of this knee injury, the fact that he is skating and he looks good and is progressing does indicate to me that he will be back by the playoffs. And as we saw last year with him coming back, that's what it looks like. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I hope you're right, man. I really hope you're right.
No, hey, to your surprise though, Holden, look, I say it looks that way right now. Okay. You know, We don't know. We don't know, but right now it looks that way.
Schedule wise, San Jose, Arizona, Anaheim. They got a nice schedule to finish out the season. I'm not giving up on the number one seed in the West.
No, they have the easiest schedule of every team in the NHL remaining the rest of the way. So, you know, obviously for face value right there for the rest of the season, that's a great thing. But it also goes to show you that with how hampered with injuries they were in the first half of the season, which was a really tough schedule then, that they made out pretty well facing their toughest schedule with a lot of injuries. So now they're going to get healthier with their easier schedule. Yeah, the Stars are still in reach. In fact, Holden, the Avs and the Stars play on April Fool's Day. So, look, I'm not saying this is going to be the storyline. And, yes, Dallas crushed them recently on a Saturday or two ago. 7-3, I think, was the final. And the Avs are still just 5 points back of the Stars with – two games in hand, so it's still very reachable. That game was in Dallas. This game will be in Denver on April Fool's Day. So will the storyline be, hey, Dallas, you've been in first place all season long in the Central. April Fools, here come the Avs.
Any college basketball for you? I've just been horrible on Pac-12 basketball, so I'm not. You pwned me last night with Stanford. I'm not even gonna give my Colorado pick. I mean, because I got the over here, and then my guy over at Run Pure Sports has the under, so I'm just going to cross that out. I do have a CSU pick. I think, you know, San Diego State handles the -6.5 and then under 146.5 at +110, but I think Colorado's season ends today, and I think Colorado State's season ends today, unfortunately, because this time last year, CSU was awesome, man. David Roddy, Isaiah Stewart, they're down to Stewart now. It's just not great.
Yeah. So, yeah, for CSU, I watched them play at San Diego State a week or so ago, and they got handled. They got handled really good. And UCLA is one of the best teams in the country for CU, so it's going to be tough for both those teams today. For me, I'm looking at the ACC tournament, and I feel like I have a pretty good feel on this tournament. Now, I could be wrong. Now, coming up here, I don't know when you're going to drop this podcast, Holden. It's almost 10:30 Mountain. Coming up at 12:30 here, Duke hosts Pittsburgh.
We won't have that one in time. But I know a lot of people that are on Pitt.
Well, hey, I like Duke in that game. And that, you know what, forget about that game, really, because I like Duke in that game. So coming up at 5 o'clock tonight, North Carolina is like +110 against Virginia. Duke and North Carolina are doing the thing where they get hot towards the end of the ACC season. I think we're headed towards a Duke-North Carolina ACC final. Now, North Carolina +110 against Virginia tonight. I love North Carolina in that game. I absolutely like the hot Tar Heels to go and beat Virginia and Tony Bennett's squad. So I like North Carolina +110 as I think they're on a collision course with Duke. And then also the nightcap in the ACC tournament, North Carolina State against Clemson is essentially a pick 'em at -110. NC State just crushed the absolute hell out of Virginia Tech last night. I told you, Holden, I liked NC State in that game. I watched NC State versus North Carolina a few weekends ago. Really fun game that was at North Carolina State. NC State pulled away late. The semifinal very well could be a rematch, North Carolina versus North Carolina State. So I'm going with both those two teams tonight, +110 UNC, -110 NC State. I see a lot of value in both those picks.
Okay, my friend, it's time for you to plug everything that you were doing over at Altitude 92.5. And I'll just tell you, this thing will get posted in time. Bill Self was in the hospital. There's rumors about a heart attack. Norm Roberts, former St. John's coach, won some really big games early in the season when Self was had a self-imposed suspension. So that line's moving all over the place. Kansas -2 live, -2 or better live. It's going to be my play there, but West Virginia always plays them tough. Plug everything you're doing, my friend.
Yeah, today, this afternoon from 3 to 6 p.m., Nate Kreckman's in Las Vegas. Yeah, today, Holden. 3 to 6, me and Andy Lindahl will host the big show. Kreckman and Lindahl will be live out at Ball Arena ahead of Avs Kings tonight. Interesting Avs Kings matchup tonight. The Kings are underrated. Should be a good game out at Ball Arena. So 3 to 6 p.m. today, me and Andy, and then I'll have your post game after that Avs game as well.
All right, buddy. You take care of yourself. Thanks to everybody behind the scenes. Of course, Melissa, we got Adam, we got Terry. You guys are awesome. For Mark Springer, I'm Holden Kushner. Follow me on Twitter at Holden Radio. And thanks for checking out the Denver CityCast on the Bet Rivers Network.
Thanks for listening to the Denver CityCast on the Bet Rivers Network.